Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. A little bit cooler today. Boy, it's been hot and sticky, hasn't it, the last few days? Much cooler weather is due in here tomorrow. All of a sudden, it's going to feel a little bit like early autumn. But we enjoy a little bit of a respite from the heat. Good program today. We're going to be talking with the Butler Shade Tree Commission on the first portion of the program, and then we'll be chatting with Michael Dongilli about Butler's Italian Festival, which is coming up this weekend downtown. And Michael will be able to tell us about everything that's going to be happening. It's a pretty big deal, by the way. This is the third year for it, I think. Let's first of all say hello to our guests with us here in the studio. Diane Smith is here, member of the City of Butler Shade Tree Commission. Diane, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, Dave.
Yeah, nice to have you here. And also with us is Jen Senchak, who is an arborist with the Shade Tree Commission. And Jen, it's nice to meet you. Nice to have you here.
Happy to be here, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Yes, an arborist. That's a... It's like a tree specialist, right?
That is correct. We have been more recently referring to ourselves as tree doctors. The International Society of Arboriculture holds high standards for their arborists, and we uphold those standards.
Well, I can remember studying trees. Probably everybody did this when you were in grade school. You were not collecting leaves, right?
Yes, sir.
And you tried to identify trees by their leaves. I can still remember doing that. Sassafras trees had a tree that looked like a mitten. Maple, of course, everybody knows that from the Canadian flag and so on. And then I think I got a bit more into it in biology in high school, you know, where you could learn about the silhouette of trees. Even without leaves on, you can identify like an elm tree.
Correct. It usually has a standard vase shape, more of a V structure than upright and like a lollipop.
Yeah. So I've exhausted my total knowledge of trees. So
I like that you mentioned sassafras with the mitten, because the sassafras is one tree that actually has three different shapes of leaves, and we say that they are shaped like a football, a mitten, and then an alien hand with three fingers. So when you see a tree that has three different shaped leaves, it is often that sassafras.
Diane, we know we're talking with an arborist here, don't we?
I know. It's scary.
So tell us a little bit about the City of Butler Shade Tree Commission, Diane Smith. You're one of the members. How large is the commission?
We have seven members.
Mm-hmm.
And
I need you to get a little bit closer to that mic for me, Diane. Thanks.
And the third-class city code provides for municipalities to have a shade tree commission, and they pretty much spell out the purpose, the scope, and what we're supposed to be doing.
I didn't know that. Huh.
And so part of the city code is the shade tree ordinance. And so it's available on the city site, and there's a lot of details in it that most people wouldn't be too interested in, but our job is to advise city council and then to advise residents on matters that would help them with their trees. And so we seek to educate and support and hopefully maintain our city, what do they call it, an urban forest?
Certainly.
Yeah. The health of it is so important to the environment now.
Well, I think it's very important, starting with an aesthetic concept. It's great to come down Main Street in the city of Butler and see trees on both sides of the street, you know?
Sure. There's always the benefit of trees, the beauty. They've proved that as therapy in a hospital, if you have a tree outside your window, your healing time is faster. There are many other quantifiable benefits, such as heating and cooling for buildings, as well as pollution and all those things, stormwater management. But our point of view really is that trees can be both an asset and a liability, And being that the city is a business, we hope to really help them make the best decisions on how to manage these assets and liabilities.
Are the trees along Main Street in downtown Butler the responsibility of the Shade Tree Commission, Diane? Did the Shade Tree Commission plant these or trim them or whatever?
It's kind of an interesting question. The Shade Tree Commission is responsible for the shade trees, once that's defined, within the entire city limits.
Oh.
So any tree that is along the curb, or what's called the tree lawn, between the sidewalk and the curb, that falls under our jurisdiction, in that we want to hopefully preserve them and give guidance, because there are trees that fare better in urban landscapes and some that do quite awfully. The biggest example of that would be the trees that constantly have to get pruned by the utility companies.
And they grow too fast and too high and they start getting into the electric wires.
Yeah. And then they top them and it kills them.
Yeah.
So I think the shade tree, early on in the 2000s, were the ones that originally planted the ones that run along Main Street. But the ordinance specifically says we're responsible for the entire city. So not so much that we're going to plant them, but that we do want to have some input as to how they are cared for or if there's an unsafe situation.
We certainly like to advise people to plant a tree that won't grow over 20 foot if it's going to be near power lines. So then you avoid the expense of having to prune it, the expense of having to take it out once it dies when it was topped and pruned improperly. Really, that is our role, is to help people make those better decisions.
Even the type of tree, I know that if you've got a tree along a city street, or in this case Route 8 is a main highway that goes through the city of Butler, you need tough trees like locust. I think
Bingo.
Is pretty tough.
That
right,
that is a perfect selection for a street tree, and Butler really enjoys its locusts. They are certainly hardy.
Because they take a lot of salt spray, you know, in the wintertime. They take exhaust pollution, right? I assume
absolutely.
They're resistant to that.
And, of course, a very small well to live in, compacted soils, and drought is something that they certainly struggle with.
Nobody sees people going around watering the trees along Main Street, do they?
It's not typically something that happens. Main Street, the locusts are a good example of a tree that maintains not only resiliency against those stresses, but has good structure. Our other tree that is most popular on Main Street is the pear, and I'm sure people this past year with all the ice storms have become familiar with how they have poor structure and weak branch unions and like to fall apart. So again, we of course advise people to not plant those types of trees for trees on streets.
They're also subject to harsh pruning. I know there still are pear trees along, I think it's West Cunningham Street.
Right.
And several years ago, the utility companies went in there and just almost demolished them, you know, because I was used to seeing that tunnel of white pear blossoms, you know, in the early spring, and suddenly they weren't there anymore. So that's an example of a tree that maybe grows too big or too fast if
right.
It's below utility lines.
And then the heavy pruning messes up the tree's hormones, so it starts growing differently or perhaps compartmentalizing areas that have been wounded, and then larger branches will die off. So, yeah, that's another reason we like to advise people on proper pruning techniques to keep their trees from reacting poorly.
So is locust the best for urban treescapes?
Locust is certainly one of the top five, absolutely. Newcastle had just done a Main Street renovation, and they selected locust as their main tree. One of the most important things is to not plant all of the same tree. You want variety, so if you do have a pest come in and it wipes out your entire population of locust trees, perhaps you also have some ash trees, some hornbeams, some linden, something different to keep going. People are perhaps familiar with the emerald ash borer that took out entire street lengths of ash trees, and then you're left with nothing. So variety is really important when selecting trees as well.
Hmm. Does the Shade Tree Commission have any other responsibilities, Diane Smith, other than just trees?
Not really by ordinance.
Planters or something like that? No? Not by ordinance, huh?
No. That's something they've chosen to do, and certainly each committee that's made up of different people have different ideas of what they'd like to do. Part of the ordinance calls for a permit process that we've never had before. And we've developed one now, and it's available on the city site. And the problems that Jen's been mentioning are things that are addressed. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you get an application for planting a tree, a street tree. Whatever you do in your own yard is, of course, the property's owner prerogative. But a street tree would have certain requirements. So we would want to explain to them the trees that are going to have the best chance for success, given the space, given the traffic on the street, given the well size, given the utility situation, given whether the sidewalk is 2 feet away from the curb or 5 feet away from the curb. So all these things would be addressed with the permit.
If a property owner, they have the front yard, they have a sidewalk, and then there's usually a little strip of grass before you get to the pavement, and that's where a lot of trees are planted. Is that what you're talking about, that space? The Shade Tree Commission has your regulations apply to those trees?
Mm-hmm. There's height clearances that have to be over the street. It's something like 14 feet because of trucks and whatever. It's 10 feet over the sidewalks. Sometimes those notifications comes from codes and violations.
Mm-hmm.
But
so that's so trucks can pass by without hitting the branches.
And maintain
pedestrians
signage,
can walk
visibility.
Under.
Yeah, there's rules against how close you can be to a water box, an electric, fire hydrants.
Stop signs,
all kinds
I've seen
of
stop signs that are almost invisible because of tree branches that have grown, kind of hiding them.
And a lot of the pruning that's taken place, especially on Main Street, has been specifically to make the street and highway directional signs visible.
Mm-hmm.
So they've really done some.
Won't have to worry in the not too distant future about the trees on Main Street going into the utility lines anymore, though, right?
Yeah,
aren't they going to go underground?
Yep, they are.
Yeah? That's what all that digging is going on along the sidewalks of Main Street over the past couple of months.
Right. Zillion Opal just finished theirs, and it looks great.
Mm.
So. But hopefully when we go to replace some of these trees or rearrange them or whatever it is that that we come up with, there'll be a bigger space so that the trees can get more water, more nutrients, and have a better chance for success.
What's the term for that you used, Jen? Well box or something?
A tree well.
Tree well, yeah. So it's that little... Right now, that little square of dirt around the trunk of a tree. Not much, huh?
Right, but many of the city's tree wells do have drainage incorporated in them, and they do actually help absorb a good amount of the stormwater. We really like to help people who are doing these large projects, such as on Main Street, try to integrate the larger picture and plan ahead for not only drainage for the tree's sake, but to help with the issues that the city faces with rainstorms.
I've seen some grates around some of those things, which I assume helps to get the water in there to the tree, huh?
Certainly does.
Is there a monetary appropriation from City Council for some of the work of the Shade Tree Commission, Diane Smith?
No, there is not. But
so where do you get the money to operate?
Well,
a lot of volunteers, I suppose, huh?
I think we still have some money left over from, I don't know if it was a grant or a donation, from the railroad company. That was some while ago. I think Maggie was still mayor. But, for instance, we've asked a couple of businesses to consider replacing their dead tree. Dylan McCandless was one of those that had a proposal given to them, and they said, "Yeah, we'll go along with that." And Jen's company was the one that actually did the work. They went above and beyond what normal people would do. They really took apart that tree grate, and I think it had been hit by something, and they reforged it all in their shop, and they picked a beautiful ginkgo tree because they have nothing above them, so that tree can just go crazy. And it's going to be a great asset right to that because there are no trees around that area.
So are the individual business owners along Main Street responsible for the tree in front of their place of business?
They can certainly help us in maintaining them. It was definitely a volunteer effort, I would consider, from Dylan McCandless to support the cause and help beautify the city. Of course, they benefit as well. Then they have the beauty and the shade of it.
We'll take a quick break. We're going to be chatting more with our guests from the City of Butler Shade Tree Commission here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back after these words.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back. If you're joining us a little bit late on the It's Your Turn program here on a kind of cloudy and gray Wednesday, guests from the City of Butler Shade Tree Commission are with us, and one of the members of the commission, Diane Smith, is here, and also the arborist, the tree specialist for the Shade Tree Commission, Jane Senchak, is here as well. Jen, you were telling me during the break that you're going to be doing an inventory of all the trees?
That's correct. You were asking about funding, and we do not get actual funding. When we are doing projects, we rely on volunteers as well as some grant money that is always available from the state. And we are lucky enough to be taking advantage of a state program with the DCNR to do a tree inventory of Butler. And as I mentioned, the city is essentially a business, and when they're making decisions what to do with their money, they need to know what they're working with before they can make a good informed decision. So with the supporting evidence that the tree inventory will be giving us, then the government will be more likely to give us grants because we have a clear plan of what we have and what we'd like to do with it.
So you're going to be going up and down the street cataloging the types of trees, the number of trees?
On August 27th, there will be a fairly large group of volunteers from the DCNR, other arborists, folks from a horticulture school that we work with, and hopefully as many Butler community residents that we can get involved. You don't need any background. It's a app on your phone that you're able to take pictures of the trees and little notes about the diameter or any pests or problems that they may have. And really, it's just going to be some folks with clipboards walking around looking up and pointing. So when you see us out there, feel free to ask us questions about your own trees. Join us and learn a little bit about things. But all of the information we gather will be used for making solid decisions down the road on how to move forward.
Do you still need volunteers to help with this inventory, Diane?
I think that would be great. People are free to come and listen in the morning. We're going to be meeting at the Optimist Shelter. That's the first one on the left. When you go into Memorial Park, So they can learn how to use it. Because once you know how to use it,
you're talking about the app now, right?
Right. Yeah. You can. It doesn't all have to be done this right minute. So if you have time to just listen to how to do it, that would be great. And if you want to join the different groups that will be moving around the city to different areas, that would be great too.
So that's August 27th.
That's right. 10 a.m.
That's next week, right?
It's coming right up.
What day of the week is that? I don't have my calendar.
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. And what time your meeting?
10 in the morning.
At Butler Memorial Park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody would like to learn more about this or maybe help out? Welcome to come, huh?
Absolutely.
How can people keep up to date with what's happening with the City of Butler Shade Tree Commission, Diane Smith?
Well, we have developed a Facebook page. And on the page, we try to give little timely, seasonal hints about just things that you might not be thinking about as a homeowner, as a tree owner.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, one of the first posts we had was about pruning cuts. And most people would say, or I would have said before I met Jennifer here, you take a saw and you cut the tree off, limb off that you don't want there.
Yeah.
But the question would be, did you disinfect your saw? Are you transmitting diseases from one tree to another tree? Are you cutting it at the proper angle? Are you doing it at the right time of year? Are you cutting a branch that should be left as opposed to one that should have been taken out because it's doing something that, you know, it shouldn't be doing.
And there's a real trick to properly pruning a tree. Don't just cut the top off. That has happened so many times, and it can easily kill a tree.
That's right. We've seen that most recently over on North McKean, some big, beautiful 100-year oaks that had the top removed. And as I mentioned, it messes with their hormones, and the food and water's not going back up and down like it used to. Unfortunately, the person who owns the property only moved in a few years ago. If she'd have understood what to look for in the possible liability of a tree, She may not have selected that property to begin with.
What about trees? And I've seen this in many cases because I walk in the city of Butler a lot, and there are people who have trees that are, the sidewalk is being pushed up by the roots, you know, and I look at those and I say, who would have planted an oak there? You know, I almost know it's going to push up the sidewalk in any number of years.
Although I wonder if the oak was there before the sidewalk.
Well, that's a possibility, too. But I'm sure there are trees that tend not to do that as much as others.
There are trees that have deeper rooting. And as she mentioned, the sidewalks were most likely not there 100 years ago. And most large cities, it takes 100 years to understand what a tree as large as an oak is going to do. So, unfortunately, cities are just learning about the repercussions of the right tree in the right place, and we're really hoping to learn from past mistakes and not make those mistakes again.
Trees, in addition to being beautiful and aesthetically pleasing in a city, help to clean the air, don't they?
Absolutely. I can't throw out quotes and numbers for that, but if you were to get online, you can actually put in the size of a tree, and it will output how many gallons or however you measure carbon dioxide, et cetera, and give you some quantity output. And then they can actually put a monetary value to that as well.
The tree app that we've been talking about for the inventory, just in learning to use it, I put in the trees in my yard. So I have a scarlet oak in the back, which is the biggest tree in my yard. And it said over the course of its year, it has taken out 244,000 pounds of carbon dioxide. So it's like that's this amazing thing, and all you do is, you know, you input. The amount of information you get back is amazing.
Yeah. So trees, if you didn't know that, they help to take care of pollution, and is it anywhere, but especially important in a city. There are liabilities, though, with trees, right? I mean, they really need to be properly taken care of if you have dangerous limbs or, for that matter, dangerous trees.
Trees can be very expensive, and it's usually surprising to a property owner just how expensive pruning can be. Oftentimes, removal is a less expensive option, which is what we try to push the utility companies to do if they're going to be spending a lot of time and money on a tree that they're damaging. Is it more economical just to remove the tree in the first place? Mm-hmm. From that standpoint, on saving money and making a better decision, we try to help people with the Facebook page realize those types of problems so they can nip them in the bud. It's one of my favorite horticulture puns, but an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you can spot a problem with structure of your tree and prune it properly before it gets to be 50 years old, which is what we do with the street trees, we prune them for their first 10 years of life in order to establish a proper structure so they can hold themselves up and not have branches splitting. Diane and I do a lot of scouting on our streets to notice bugs. We've noticed one tree that was tore apart, it looked like by animals, but we realized upon closer inspection it was skunks trying to get to insects that had burrowed in the bark.
Uh-huh.
So some inexpensive insecticide from Home Depot could have solved the problem instead of all of the money to cut the tree down. We had noticed one very large burgundy Norway maple that had rapidly declined, and upon inspection we had noticed that somebody had been continuously weed whacking around it for maybe years, but that's all it took to cut off the water and food supply to the tree. So a simple free fix could have saved the hundreds of dollars of having the tree removed.
Be careful when you're mowing around a tree, don't damage the bark.
That
is correct.
Eventually
you do it. What about and I've heard different answers on this question. When I was a little kid, somebody cut a limb off a tree. They always painted it with black paint, you know, painted the spot where the branch was cut off. And then I heard that was the worst thing to do. What?
It is not advised to seal a wound. A tree, their hormones are in place to actually seal off the wounds themselves. And on the note of the proper pruning, that is why you have to place the pruning cut outside of what looks like a shoulder on the trunk. If you cut into that shoulder on the trunk, the tree will not be able to seal off his wound. But painting something on it actually puts more moisture caught in there, and then there's the opportunity for fungus or pests to get in. So yes, just let your tree heal itself, but give it the opportunity to grow the right way to do that healing.
Trees are beautiful things. I'm glad the city of Butler has a shade tree commission.
I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
It's been a learning experience, I'll tell you what.
We are certainly here to help.
So once again, there's a Facebook page for people that want to keep up to date on activities of the Shade Tree Commission.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, you can go onto the City Butler website, and there's information about the Shade Tree Commission there.
Yeah, and we also put information out there. If I have, there's a whole section on the proper planting order. I think there's that one, and the pruning cuts.
Lots of links to good information.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's lots of links.
Yeah, and don't forget the tree inventory orientation is going to be Tuesday of next week, August 27th,
mm-hmm.
10 a.m. at Butler Memorial Park. And where was it in the park again?
The first shelter on the left, called the Optimist Shelter.
Optimist Shelter.
So there's plenty of parking in.
After talking with the two of you, I feel like getting a good book and going out and sitting under a tree this afternoon.
It's a lovely way to spend the afternoon.
I've done it many a time out at Moraine. Yeah, find a tree all by myself and sit down and read a book.
Hey, Dave, what do your best friend and a shade tree have in common?
I don't know, Jen. What?
They both fall over when you hit them with an axe.
She's awful.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, Jen Senchek.
Thank you for having us.
Arborist, working with the City of Butler Shade Tree Commission, and Diane Smith. Always good to see you, Di.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you here. We take a break. Listen, in just a minute or so, we're going to be talking all about Butler's Italian Festival, which is coming up this weekend downtown, so stick around. We'll be back in just a moment or so to tell you all about that here on It's Your Turn on WISR.
Medical marijuana is legal in Pennsylvania for anxiety and anxiety disorders, such as panic attacks, nervous tics, and obsessive compulsive disorder. Go to cccregister.com or call 888-316-9084 to get your medical card today at Compassionate Certification Centers. That's 888-316-9085. Look for the flag or log on to cccregister.com and pre-screen for medical marijuana. Call 888-316-9085 and get answers to your medical marijuana questions today.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Does your small business need to work more effectively and efficiently? Then you need Sir Speedy Printing. If you're in business, they can print your letterhead, order forms, business cards, posters, and even do your bulk mailing, which includes printing your direct mail piece. They are the local experts. They know the sizing requirements, formats, and guidelines, and can probably do a bulk mailing for less than you can. The next time you need to do a direct mailing, consider stopping at Sir Speedy Printing for a free, no-obligation quote. Their bulk mailing service can save you time and money while helping grow your customer base. Stop by Sir Speedy Printing, 229 South Main Street, Butler.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. And our next guest joins us by telephone, and it's an important guest. Michael Dongili is visiting with us. Michael, good to talk with you again.
David, always good to be with you, my friend, for sure. How are you today?
Well, we're going to be talking about Butler's Italian Festival, which is coming up. For goodness sakes, it's this weekend, isn't it, Michael?
Man, it is hard to believe that another year has passed, but we are really incredibly excited for year three of the Butler Italian Festival because the first 2 years have been so well received, and everybody up there so cooperative and working with us to bring this fabulous event to downtown that we can't wait to get going for year number three.
Well, yes, this will be the third year. The first year, as I recall, it was over Labor Day, and you decided that it would be better to have it the weekend before Labor Day. Am I correct on that?
You are absolutely correct. Yeah, good memory. And mainly because, you know, Labor Day has become such a staple holiday for a lot of people. They have a lot of other things planned. We almost thought we were infringing on those plans by doing it that weekend. So we decided to move it the week beforehand and before actually people get started going back to school full-time, and it seems to have worked out really, really well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what people will see. First of all, it's downtown Butler, pretty much from one end of Main Street to the other, correct?
Yeah, in fact, we're actually a block bigger this year. You know, there's more of it to see. We're reaching all the way up to Cunningham and then all the way down. So it's bigger. For sure, and probably, you know, 20%, maybe 30% more vendors that people are going to be able to see. And we've added a stage, so we've got two stages now. The main stage, which is, you know, right at North and Main Street there, people are quite familiar with. It's the empty lot there next to the old theater. And then we're actually going to be positioning a second stage closer to Cunningham Street so that we can kind of have the music and ambiance permeate a little bit all the way through as you're going up and down.
And, of course, Main Street will be closed to vehicular traffic. It'll be pedestrian only for every day of the festival, right?
Yeah, starting at 2 o'clock on Friday, And then right up until the end of the festival, 10 o'clock on both Saturday and, Friday and Saturday. And then, as soon as they can reopen after the festival closes each night, they will. But while the festival's going on, absolutely, downtown Main Street will be closed.
How many days altogether will the Italian festival be in there?
From the 23rd through the 25th, so 3 days.
That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is that what we're talking about?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about some of the entertainment, Michael Dongilli. What are people going to see and hear when they're down there?
Well, we're all about music and food and camaraderie, as Italians are, and so that's what kind of makes this festival really family friendly, family oriented, and so those stages are going to be rolling pretty much on the hour every hour throughout the day with people like Donny Iris and the Granati Brothers and some other tribute bands. Let's Groove Tonight, which is a Earth, Wind, and Fire tribute band. And we've got a new act called Jumpin' Jack Flash, which is a tribute band to the Rolling Stones. And then, of course, you've got guys like Jimmy Sapienza, who's been around for decades. And some unique entertainers, that are truly Italian-oriented, like Morello Volpe. This year, too, Dave, I think if you're a fan of opera, you get a chance to basically hear three different and distinct opera performers, including the tenor that we've had the last 2 years, John Lupone. Then we get a really, really great soprano who sings classic Italian arias called Johnny Marie. And what is unique about her is that in addition to her incredible voice, she also dresses in costume of the characters that she's actually portraying in scenes. So she's kind of unique. And then we've got an incredible young talent. She was with us last year. Her name is Victory Brinker. She's out of Latrobe. She's 7 years old.
Wow.
But her voice is as good as it gets when you're talking opera. It's just unbelievable. So if you're a fan of that genre, you really have three distinct voices that you'll hear throughout the weekend.
Well,
go ahead.
I can tell you this. Last year, I was mesmerized by the entertainment. I had stopped at the stage last year, and it's going to be one of the main stages this year, too. Folks, it's the corner where the Worsley store used to be, which, of course, is a vacant lot now since that big fire. And it's a wonderful place for a stage. And you set up chairs there last year. I assume it's going to be that way this year, too. I mean, people can stand if they want to, but you can actually sit down and enjoy the music and the performers. Right, Michael?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, David. We kind of simulate there what they call piazza in Italy, where mm-hmm. it's a square where people can come and gather and just sit and relax and, enjoy in Italy a biscotti and a cappuccino if they want, and you can certainly do that here too because we'll have those things. But it's also just a great opportunity for people to come and congregate and socialize and then, hear some of the magnificent performers that we'll have going on throughout the weekend.
Well, I want to tell you, folks, some of these names, it's a real treat to have them coming to downtown Butler to perform. Donny Iris, nationally known performer, the Granati Brothers, Jimmy Sapienza. I heard John Lupone. Am I pronouncing his name correctly, Lupone?
You are, absolutely.
I heard him last year, and I'm not really very knowledgeable on opera, but it was glorious to see him and hear him live. It was great stuff. Great stuff, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, these are really, really good acts. I mean, these are people that, like you say, have been around. Some of them have national acclaim associated with them, like Donny. Donny and the Granati Brothers have almost become a tradition here at the festival because people now, I mean, we've had them for the 3 years, all 3 years as sort of headliners, and they have been, well-received, and people just kind of expect to see them there. So, we're always welcome to have them. They're very well received, and people are just so appreciative, I think, of what we're doing there. Because nowadays, you go to any of these festivals, or you go to any form of huge entertainment with your family. There's quite an expense involved, and here there isn't. I mean, everything for the most part is free, And so you get an opportunity to come and see all of this, entertainment, and it really doesn't hit you hard in the pocket at all. I mean, the only thing you're really paying for is the food that you buy or the drinks that you buy, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Yeah, there's no admission charge for Butler's Italian Festival. You just come downtown, and you better plan to give yourself a little bit of time, because I can guarantee you'll be strolling up and down Main Street trying to decide how many places you're going to eat, and I guarantee you, you won't be able to eat at just one or two places. It is physically impossible because
you're coming to an Italian festival, you better be hungry, because, I mean, the aromas just don't stop, and the food, for the most part, is just absolutely phenomenal. Italian food is the best in the world and most widely acclaimed, so... we'll have all of it represented there for sure.
How long does it take to organize one of these festivals, Michael? I assume that you've been doing this for a while.
I have been doing it for quite a while, Dave, decades actually. And you're right. I mean, you would think that with each and every passing year, it gets easier, but it really doesn't, because there's always things that you're trying to do to improve. There's obstacles that pop up that weren't there the year before, people who might not have been there, the year before that you have to deal with in all kinds of capacities. So it's almost like starting anew. And really, I mean, just to organize and get the people that we want to have involved and bring to this festival, you're looking at a full year of planning. That's what it comes down to.
Okay.
To do it right and to do it well.
We need to take a quick break, but I have many more questions for Michael Dongili. We're talking about Butler's Italian Festival, and in case you've lost track of it, it's this weekend, this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. More with Michael in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler, and they are continuing their summer collection of excess garden produce every Saturday. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul has people at St. Michael's Hall on Center Avenue on Butler's South Side collecting your excess garden produce. And all of a sudden, tomatoes are coming on, right? If you have any extra, or peppers, or beans, or corn, or any of your garden produce, don't let it go to waste. You know, after you've had your fill and you've given to the neighbors and relatives, if you have any left over, consider donating to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They make it very easy. They're there every Saturday from 8 a.m. until noon. You drop off your excess garden produce, and it's distributed to needy families on Monday at the food bank. St. Michael's Hall, it's right behind St. Michael's Church on Center Avenue on Butler's South Side. And again, representatives of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank will be there every Saturday through late September from 8 a.m. until 12 noon. The folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Back to talk more with Michael Dongili here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Welcome back once again. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're chatting with Michael Dongili, who joins us by telephone. We're talking about Butler's Italian Festival coming up this weekend. Will there be special activities for kids at the festival, Michael?
Yeah, actually, it's probably one of the improved areas of the festival, Dave. We've got a new vendor bringing in some different types of rides for kids and some different games. And, of course, the huge... Wheel of Lights, the Ferris wheel that we introduced last year, is also coming back. This is a 96 feet tall Ferris wheel, one of the largest traveling Ferris wheels in the country, and it will be at the festival all weekend long. So, yes, additionally, there's lots of things for kids and families to do. I mean, that's pretty much how the festival is oriented and geared. You know, we want families to come out and bring their kids. kids and enjoy a really good time.
That's a big Ferris wheel, folks. Is it going to be set up in the same place? It was in the parking lot along North Main Street last year, Michael. Same
yes.
place?
Yep, exact same place. Absolutely.
So, listeners, the City of London has the London Eye. And and this weekend, it's not as tall as the London Eye, but this weekend there will be a big Ferris wheel in downtown Butler, and it is gorgeous when it's all lit up to almost 100 feet high. And by the way, you can be an adult and still ride the Ferris wheel. I still like to ride them. There'll be other rides, too?
Yes, there'll be other carnival-type rides, the traditional rides that you see there for kids, or the exact names that they call them, but you know they're the typical ones that are always present in there, and then just some more game opportunities for kids to play and win prizes and things like that. So we really try to just look at everything from year to year, and we do try while we're there to really get a feel and a pulse for what the public is thinking and what they would like us to do, and give us some ideas for enhancing the festival from year to year. And, you know, from some of our exit surveys last year, that was one of them. So we hope that we've achieved at least, you know, improving that section of things. And then, of course, the music, the reason for the second stage, too, obviously, is because it is becoming such a large event. And to make, like we talked about, the ambience, be a little bit more visible and audible as you're walking back and forth and up and down to put that second stage in. So those little things, they may not look like much to others, but overall it really does enhance the event and gives us an opportunity to keep it fresh and growing from year to year.
Michael, is there any place where people will be able to find out when the particular performers, singers, musicians will be entertaining? Is there a schedule that will be available somewhere?
You can always go online to our website, butleritalianfestival.com. And as you're also, at the event too, as you're traversing, you know, we have signage right directly in front of our main stage that lists all the acts and when they'll be performing. And, recently, I think it's just this past weekend, one of our other media partners, I really need to let you know, and of course people like the Eagle up there as well too. You guys have been just so great in helping us get the word out. There was a big tab in the local paper, the Butler Eagle, last weekend. So there's been all kinds of things that we've tried to do to give people an opportunity to see what's going on and get them advance notice as to what's going on, so that they can plan their day when they come out.
And once again, you want to see Donny Iris, Granati Brothers, Jim Sapienza. There's no charge for this. I mean, these are all free concert performances, right?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, they're all free. And like I said, you know, it's really good, solid entertainment. And you know, it's just not all music too, Dave. We do give the audience an opportunity to actually participate in some of the things that we'll be doing on stage this weekend. So. Of course, there's the Dolce Mia meatball eating contest, and then Sunday we'll have the pasta eating contest, so people can register for that actually at the beer and pop and T-shirt stand in front of the main stage. They can just come right up and register for that, right up to the time that we're doing both things, Saturday with meatballs and Sunday pasta. So they can get engaged that way. And of course, you know, always popular with the ladies up there is the Star of Italy pageant. And I believe there's still time to register for that too. That's the Little Miss Italy thing that we do for aspiring young ladies who are interested in that type of competition. So it's friendly, but it's popular, and I know the girls that do participate in it work extremely hard to put on a good performance when they're there.
So there's a meatball eating contest, and you say a pasta eating contest? I'm sorry, I missed that, Michael.
It is, yeah, it is a pasta eating contest. It's spaghetti, and we did both things last year, and I got to tell you, it's a I mean, you won't find me participating in either of those activities, but the people that do, I have to give them credit how they do it and how they're able to consume that much food in such a short period of time. I'm always amazed, and keep it down, because in order to win, no refunding is allowed, so to speak. So keeping it down is the big thing.
Well, folks, if you've seen the hot dog eating contest at Coney Island on ESPN over the 4th of July, here's a chance to see it live in person, downtown Butler, the meatball eating contest and the pasta eating contest. Meatballs are Saturday, pasta's on Sunday, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Sunday is meatball.
Oh, okay.
Pasta is on Saturday. I reversed them. That's my fault. Yeah.
Okay.
2:00 on Saturday for pasta and 1:30, I believe, on Sunday, both at the main stage for meatball eating contest.
And what about tell me a little bit more about the Star of Italy thing for young ladies. How does that shake down, Michael?
You know, it's kind of just a traditional, it's a friendly competition, Dave. It's really just an opportunity to get exposure for young ladies who are in the, into pageants and pursue that for, reason that they're into it, whether it be for entertainment or, just for their own exposure and confidence. But, it's very well conducted. There's a whole registration process and rules of engagement for once they are there. So if you go online, you'll kind of get a feel for all that application. If you go on to ButlerItalianFestival.com, there is a place there for registration.
And will that be on the main stage there on Main Street?
It is. It's right on the main stage. It actually kicks off things at noon on the main stage. That's the first thing we'll be doing.
This is a 3-day event this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When does it open each day, Michael Dongeli? What time can people start going?
5:00 on Friday, so from 5 to 10 on Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, things really kind of kick off around noontime.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll run on Saturday from noon until 10, and Sunday from noon until 6 p.m. And then we'll break it all down and have everything opened up for Monday for everybody to kind of resume what they do every day up in Butler. And then start planning again for next year.
Well, this Friday, the day after tomorrow, I imagine they're probably going to start putting the Ferris wheel up, maybe even tomorrow. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know how fast they can put that up.
You are correct. They'll start putting that up tomorrow. Actually, we'll probably start after 5 o'clock tomorrow, wherever we can, to get kind of an advance start on our load-in schedule. Our stage is going to be going in. The Ferris wheel will be going up. I'm sure some vendors will be able to position some vendors along Main Street if we can. But you'll start seeing semblance of the festival coming together beginning as early as 3-4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and then full scale Friday up until we're ready to open at 5:00. So it's a lot to do in a short period of time, but it all comes together. We're pretty well planned and. Logistically and operationally, everything is according to schedule. So, and it looks like the weather is going to be incredible for the entire weekend. I've been watching the advanced forecast here, and it looks like we're going to get a nice but very comfortable cool spell during the days, and in the evenings even cooler. So, and no rain is forecast from what I'm seeing so far. So, hopefully, we keep our fingers crossed that the weather cooperates because, when you're doing something outside, that's the only thing you really can't control. So we just hope that Mother Nature cooperates all 3 days, 4 days actually, for loaded.
Knock on wood, the long-range forecast is great for the weekend. Yeah, well, there are, I don't know how many food stands with all sorts of Italian specialties. Follow your nose because the aromas are just outstanding. Will there be vendors of other sorts as well with, I don't know, some merchandise and stuff too, Michael?
Oh, absolutely, Dave. I mean, not everything is Italian because it is a little difficult to snap every single booth with something that resembles something Italian. So there's a mixture of things just to kind of add to the overall flavor of everything, but absolutely. I mean, you'll have your food vendors, but then in addition to that, you have, you know, various craft vendors and just different suppliers of things here and there. I mean, it's truly all-encompassing festival in that regard, with the overall emphasis being, of course, Italian and the entertainment and the food geared towards primarily that aspect of it. But you will see additional things and vendors that are not Italian, but certainly will be welcoming to the people that are there.
Well, I enjoyed not only last year pasta and meatballs and cannoli and everything else, but there were some. One of the vendors was there. It was specifically Italian desserts, and boy, were they ever good! Wow.
Oh my word! Absolutely. And you're talking about in addition to the cannoli that were there, right? Because there's the gelato. You know, if you're a big gelato fan, I believe we have somebody coming to do that. Italian ice, you know, there's certainly plenty of that. And then, of course, some of the other Italian cake specialties and pastry specialties, you know, Neapolitans and things like that. I mean, there'll be quite an array. It's a weakness for a lot of people, including myself. Those are some of the things that I like the food, but the desserts are always tempting.
You feel like you're in Italy, folks. Napoli, Roma, Firenze.
Well, that's how we want people to feel, for sure.
Well, even somebody like me, who's Irish to the core, I become Italian for 3 days during Butler's Italian Festival, Michael.
Everybody's Italian on an Italian festival. Exactly right.
You'll see plenty of Italian flag colors. You'll be immersed in Italy, folks, this weekend. Again, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend. The Butler's Italian Festival opens up for business Friday at 5 p.m. They'll go till 10 o'clock. Saturday, noon to 10 p.m. Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And Main Street in downtown Butler will be blocked off to vehicular traffic. It'll be off pedestrians. And it'll be food and entertainment up and down Main Street. 100-foot-tall Ferris wheel. It's just a real, real treat. Michael, I know you're extremely busy here just a couple of days before the festival opens. Thanks for taking some time out and chatting with us today. It was good to talk to you again.
David, always good to be with you. Like I said, we really appreciate everything that Butler Radio Group and you and Vicki and everybody does for us to make the festival a success. We couldn't do it without the cooperation of everybody, for sure. Thank you so much.
I think, Michael, I should sign off by saying ciao.
Arrivederci.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I know.
Michael Dongilli, organizer of Butler's Italian Festival. Folks, I know many of you probably were there for the first two. This is the third year for it. And this is one whopping festival. I'm not exaggerating. It is really something that takes over downtown Butler along Main Street this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hey, a quick program note. First of all, Pirate Baseball tonight on WISR. The Bucks came back. You know, they were kind of manhandled by the Washington Nationals a couple of nights ago. But last night, the Pirates turned the tables and beat the Nats 4-1. So they'll play him again tonight. We'll have the game again here on WISR. It's game 3 of a 4-game series. Our airtime is 6:40 tonight for Pirate warm-up here on WISR from PNC Park. And don't forget, this Friday, we've got high school football kicking off. You'll hear the Knock Knights on WISR this year. And then we've got Steeler football coming up for you on Sunday night, as the Steelers are in Nashville to play the Tennessee Titans. Bill Hillgrove will be calling the live radio play-by-play. Book talk coming up on Monday of next week. And the book we're going to be discussing, selected by folks at South Butler Community Library in Saxonburg. It's a great book. I started reading it a couple of days ago. It's nonfiction. It's called Midnight in Chernobyl. It's the untold story of the world's greatest nuclear disaster, the disaster at Chernobyl in the Soviet Union many, many years ago. Still a very dangerous territory. We'll talk about it with guests from the South Butler Community Library on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. I'm Dave Malarkey. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks to Michael. Thanks to our earlier guests, Diane Smith and Jen Senchak. from the Butler Shade Tree Commission. And I hope you can join us tomorrow for the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.